Welcome to another edition of the broadcast, and I'm Vicky Barcelona, and with me as always is Sarah.
Oh, hey.
Sarah.
Yes.
It's been a while.
It's been a week.
What's our contact info?
Well, it's the same. We have an Instagram. It's thebroadcast999. You can call or text us at 253-778-6029, or you can email us at thebroadcast999@gmail.com.
And if you're wondering why we were not here last week, I had a doctor's appointment, but it was not for me. It was for my little foster brother.
Oh, look at you being the good sister.
Right. It was such a pain in my butt. Because at first, I parked in the wrong spot.
Oh, no.
I parked across the street because it's like two hospitals. There's the hospital and then there's like the children's portion. It's like a children's, Seattle Children's Hospital, but it's up in, you know, up north.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize they had their own parking lot. I just saw a parking lot, but it was for the adult hospital.
Did that matter? Could you just walk to the children's part of it?
I could, and I did, with an almost two-year-old that wants to walk by himself and not hold your hand.
Oh, he's so independent.
He's independent. It's like, hold my hand. I have no problem with you walking, but you need to hold my hand because you're crossing a street. And so he doesn't want to do that. So, of course, I have to carry this, I find out, 28-pound child across the street while he's squirming, wanting to, like, get out of your arms to go play in the grass.
Run away, yeah.
Like, we were not late, but we were, like on that line. I'm like, dude, because I parked far away, I'm like, this was not.
You can't screw around. We're like, almost late anyway. Let's go.
We're on the line. And it was fine. Like, it was just an eye checkup because he's had issues with his eyes, or what my parents consider eye issues.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I have a question for the listeners, and I don't know if you had this in your family or with your grandma or thinking about it, but have you ever heard of an old wives' tale, like maybe your grandma, an aunt or dad or whatever, firmly really believes it's true, and you can prove it to them. You can pull up Google and be like, that's not how it works. This is what it really is. They're like, no, that's not true.
Oh, like they don't believe the facts.
Like, for example, like, yes, being cold, like, let's say you go outside when it's cold out with no shoes on or without a light jacket or a shirt.
Yeah.
Like, my grandma, my parents are like, oh, it's cold out, you're going to catch a cold. It's like, if it's really cold, like, yeah, I could lower my immune system, but in reality, cold is actually kind of good for you.
Oh.
But what gives you a cold is a, like, the bug. It's a virus. It's not being out in the cold.
Weather.
It's another person giving it to you, basically.
Okay.
And I tried explaining that to my parents, but it's one of those things that's, like, so ingrained in your head, because we've all heard that. Oh, put a jacket on, you're going to catch a cold. I'm like, you can catch pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Pneumonia. Sorry. Words. But, like, everyone kind of, it's one of those things, like, you grew up hearing, you're like, yeah, no, that's how it works. And then you think about it, I'm like, wait, that does not make sense.
Oh, yeah, my dad still, like, makes fun of me anytime I wear flip-flops in the quote-unquote cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, wear real shoes, you'll get sick. And I believe him, honestly, but I would still wear whatever the hell I wanted to wear.
I mean, if you were already sick and you wear, like, you got your feet wet in the rain, it was freezing cold, and it was, like, it's not going to help you.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel better, but.
Okay, so I went floating this past weekend, mm-hmm. and the float took forever, and the sun was going down, and it was cold, and I was just sitting in cold water. I immediately was like, ooh, this isn't good. I might get sick because of this. Is that true?
If you think about it, no.
It's not? Because remember when you used to go swimming or something as a kid, and then you'd get out of the pool, and then, like, you're just in your cold, wet swimsuit, and everyone's like, you gotta change, like, you're gonna catch a cold from being with the cold.
No. I mean, the worst thing, like, if you go swimming in a lake and you're still in your swimsuit as a lady, it could cause issues downstairs.
Oh, same with even just a pool, right?
Right.
Chlorine.
Yeah, depending on what your situation is.
Yeast infection messes
with your pH, people. But
it's not, okay, not about getting sick, because I really thought that even this past weekend. I was like, oh man, I've been in this river for like 6 hours. I'm cold and I'm wet. Son. Am I gonna get ill?
Ellen, I will find you the scientific thing.
Dr. Vicky over here.
Right. Because, like, I've also had a, like, I do get sick in a different way when I'm in, like, I'm really warm, for example. Like, let's say I'm really, really hot, and then I immediately go, like, in a freezer when I worked at a restaurant. Like, into the freezer, or if I go immediately from cold to hot, or hot to cold. Like, from an air-conditioned place that was really cold to, like, really hot outside.
That's weird.
I don't get a cold, but my stomach gets messed up.
Oh, that's probably just a you thing.
Yeah. Like, I've heard I read somebody else like was bitching about something once on the internet.
Like about that?
Was saying like, oh, this customer made me go into the freezer and I gave myself diarrhea because I went from hot, from the hot kitchen to them. Like, wait, other people get this too.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's not very common, though.
I guess not. But I'm curious if other people get it.
Because I feel like people who like live in Vegas, it's so hot out there. But the moment they go into a casino, it's like air conditioned. They would have so many problems if they got diarrhea every time that happened.
But like, I know that like in I forget where, somewhere in a European country where it gets really, really cold, what they do once a year that's supposed to be really good for your immune system, and they have children do this, and I've seen the videos where the children go out in their swimsuits into the snow and like get into the snow or get into cold water, mm-hmm. like outside just water.
Yeah.
And they dip themselves in and get really, really cold, and they go inside, they get warmed up, have some cocoa or tea. So it's a traditional thing they do every year, but it's supposed to really help your immune system.
Weird. Well, I know they do that with like in like spas and pools. They have like the cold pool and mm-hmm. they have the pool, and you're supposed to go back and forth between them because it is supposed to be really good for you. But I'm you like, would not like that, I guess.
I mean, if it's water, it feels a little different. I think it's more of a heat air thing. I don't know. I can tell when it's going to hit me. Like when I go outside and it's really hot, I'm like, yep, my tummy's going
to
hurt.
I'm about to S myself. Yay.
I know some people, like I'm trying to find information about like, hey, can you get a cold from being in the water too long or whatever. I'm getting stuff like how to avoid runny nose or sinusitis, like the sinus infection kind of thing.
Oh, right.
After
right.
swimming, like in a pool, but that's just, I think, more of a nose thing. It's not
yeah,
so
if
much
you go underwater and stuff.
A cold thing.
Well, maybe it's not a myth. Maybe it is a myth.
Yep.
So even Google doesn't know.
I'm finding one. Someone's like, how can I avoid catching cold after swimming? And someone's like, being cold does not cause a cold. An experiment was done in Norway, I think. Volunteers were put in isolated cabins in the woods during the winter. They had heat and food, but every day they had to take off all their clothes and go out and roll in the snow for several minutes. Not one of them caught colds. In another experiment, people played cards together. One player in each group had a cold. Of all the other members of each group, some wore a collar like a dog might wear to keep from scratching. The collar kept the card players from touching their faces. Other players wore no such collar. The results were that most of the players who didn't wear the collar got a cold, and almost none of the collar wearers got cold. So the people who wear collars who couldn't touch their face while playing cards with somebody who was sick didn't get a cold. So it's very much of a content touching, you know, touching the germs,
yeah, if you
basically.
Touch them and then you touch your face type of thing.
So it's basically, yeah, that's not how it is. But going back to the original thing, it's these things that my parents really believe.
Yeah.
And having to take him to the doctor was not a big deal. Like, I don't mind. Like, because my dad's kind of out of, like, random days like that to take off. And he also forgot to ask for the day off. My mom can't, like, when she doesn't work, she doesn't get paid.
Yeah.
So she has to work. So I'm like, okay, it's my turn. Let me take, like, I'll get him to the doctor. Don't worry about it. And the reason we went to the doctor is since he was born, he has these weird eye crusties.
Mm-hmm.
Like
when you wake up kind of thing?
All the time. It was okay. All the time, constantly. Especially when it was itty, itty, bitty. His eyes would always water and he would always get like massive eye gunk. Not just a little bit in the corner, like a lot. So we were constantly cleaning it. We asked the doctor when he was little, like, what is this? And what my grandma and my mom said, oh, he got air in his eyes. Like, not like, you know, you're standing and the wind blew in your eyes. It's yeah. Air got into your eyes and gave you that infection.
What? I don't even understand that.
Right! Right! Oh, my God, right. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And I quickly went to Google. I'm like, this is what it sounds like. Go to the doctor. And the doctor's like, it's just a clogged duct. Duct. Because we all have these little ducts in the corner of our eyes. And they're so little when they're babies that it gets clogged easy.
Okay.
So it's all, the only thing you can really do is just to kind of rub them and just try to
unclog them,
basically.
Oh, so it's easy to become unclogged.
Right, in theory, right? And so, but he would always get watery eyes out of nowhere. Like, no allergies or anything. His eyes would just start watering.
Yeah.
All the time. So my dad's like, there's something wrong with him.
So dramatic.
My dad's very dramatic. He's a little bit of a hypochondriac. And when I confronted him of this, he said, I'm not a hypochondriac. Your grandmother is. His mom.
Maybe it runs in the family. So the doctor was like, it's all good?
Yeah, so because it started happening again like a few months back, they tested his eyes. And so they're like, okay, well, this was basically a follow-up appointment to see if he was still having problems. Because if he was still having any issues or if they saw something weird when they checked him up, then there was a possibility he might need surgery. But luckily, the doctor's like, nope, we tested some stuff, like tested his eyes. Everything looks great. He did not like the tests.
Hell no. I went to the eye doctor last week, and I hate the eye doctor still.
But imagine me having to hold this kid, and they had to put a bandage over his eye.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, God. He destroyed like 3 or 4 bandages because he kept ripping them off.
Yeah, because he was like, don't take this eyesight away from me. Don't take one of my eyes away from me.
Yeah, he's a kid. You can't put glasses on him. I had to take him to another doctor's appointment before. And they're like, can you put a mask on him? I'm like, he will not keep a mask on. Like, I would put the mask like inches from his face and he immediately like just shove it out of me.
He's like, hell no, don't cover my mouth.
It's like, get that off my face. Like, he's not having it. So like,
I feel like even adults now don't even like having to wear it, and they understand what's going on. Right. Kids sure as hell won't.
He's not even 2. He's not going to let me put a mask on him.
No.
But everything is fine. Everything's good. But I feel like the only reason we had this doctor's appointment is because my parents, especially my dad, like escalate and get real dramatic. And I feel like a lot of these old wives' tales are these stupid reasoning that we never really thought of. Like, it just, you got told this when you were younger and it just, you thought it was fact and you just grow up believing that this is what it is.
Well, and I feel like that's like his little guy, his little,
right,
you know, so he's super extra paranoid.
Right. And we joke that this is, and in a sense it's true, this is his first child because my dad worked pretty much throughout like our baby years.
Oh, that's sad.
So yeah, he worked a lot. And so my mom and my aunt took care of us mostly. And so my mom, like, oh, nope, that rash is normal. We'll just do this. Or, like, he gets a bump. It's like, oh, we'll do this, do that. And my dad's like, what am I doing? He's like a first-time dad.
The child's going to die.
He's like,
yeah, there's so many things it could be now.
Should we take him to the hospital? It's like, dad, he's a baby. Babies are designed to fall and bump their heads. Like, they're pretty durable.
Yeah, I mean, I can, like, throw stones. But honestly, probably whenever I have kids, right, I will be the exact same way.
Right.
Like, just in case. Because you hear the stories like, oh, they waited too long before. Mm-hmm. They should have gone to the doctor before. They had to, this happened, or amputated, right, or the surgery, or whatever. And it's like, rather be safe than sorry.
Right. But when you're like my mom and has seen it everything, it's like, oh, nope, I know what that is.
So was your mom like, he doesn't need this doctor's appointment?
I think my mom, because it was something that she had heard too. You know,
it's, she was even like, might as well, just in case.
Right. Like I said, it's the old wives' tale. And I think like when you go to, you're from a different country, they're worse.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one thing my grandma said recently. And I was like, I'm not even going to respond because we're going to get into an argument because she's right. Because she's the older one. She's my grandmother.
I hate that. Yeah.
And there's no way I can convince her she's wrong.
Even with Google, even with science.
And I'm going to tell you this, what she said to me, and you're going to roll your eyes so hard.
Okay.
And I want you to think if you know anything like this, or if anybody's ever said anything like this, okay, to you. And same with you listeners. I want to hear yous. I feel like Caesar would probably have a few too. Because, you know, I think Hispanics have a lot more. So my friend is pregnant and she's got cats. And so they say, like, and this is a true thing. You're not, if you're pregnant, you're not supposed to at least change the litter box. Because of the ammonia. It's not good for you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's one thing I've heard. That makes sense. And she's like, she really shouldn't have cats around. I'm like, yeah, I know, because the litter box. And she's like, no, cat hair is horrible for a pregnant woman. I'm like, what? It's like, because my grandfather, her husband, who has since passed away, had basically was blind in one eye most of his life.
Okay.
Like, if all his life, he's had issues, like he can kind of see. And then as he got older, it pretty much went away. But always had issues with one eye. My grandmother says it's because when your great-grandmother was pregnant with your grandfather, she had cats, and one of those cat hairs got inhaled and got stuck in his eye, and that's why he was blind.
Oh, my God, that's so extra.
And I'm just like, so if you inhale cat hair, it's going to go one of two places. It's either going to go into your lungs, which is not going to be fun, or it's going to go down, you know, your esophagus and into your stomach, where either you're going to poo it out or it's going to get eaten up by your stomach acid. How the hell is it supposed to cut through your uterine lining and go into your embryo?
Did you ask her that?
I saw her face and she was so like, as a matter of fact. And I was like, but are you sure? And like, I could just tell, like, she was so adamant. It's like, I'm not, why am I going to give myself this headache?
Like, yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that grandmas do where I think my grandma was saying like, oh, be careful with, you know, my foster brother. I'm like, what are you talking about? Be careful. He's the one that like made himself fall.
Like,
she thought I like was not paying attention to him. And I'm like, literally right here. I'm like, he did this. And my mom agreed. She's like, that's what I said. Like, I'm like telling him to be careful. I'm like, my mom and I just kind of looked at each other like, uh-huh. You just didn't want to be wrong. And it's just like, what?
Well, and then it's the whole thing, like, does she think a pregnant woman shouldn't have any animals, or is it just cats?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
The cat hair.
I did not want to ask. I kind of do now, actually.
You should. You should be like, I need to know all the details of this. Should I not have hair when I'm pregnant? Because
right.
my hair.
Should I just shave my head? Because maybe my little, like, what if a little piece of my hair breaks off?
Right.
And I inhale it and my child comes out blind.
Yeah. Or, like, what if your man has, like, a beard or something?
Right. I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm right, that I know for sure this is a fact, but it is so far-fetched. Like, I have idea how this could be right.
I'm like, no one should have cats because their hair gets everywhere.
Right. I'm like, I don't want them on my clothes. I don't want it on my furniture. Get it out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. I don't worry about my unborn child. It's going to affect. I just think about in general.
But I mean, I know her heart's in the right place. And then it got me thinking of other things that for a long time, I thought they were true. Like, because somebody said it, and it, again, Latino people, speaking of cat hair, I just found one. That's gross. Freaking Rev. I'm going to blame him. Latino people have, like, I don't know where we get this from. And one of the things was when I was a teenager, I was like 13 years old. I had a friend who was 15. She was a couple years older than me. We went to church together. I was friends with her brothers. And she told me that if you were on your monthly visit with Aunt Flo.
Oh, yes. I love that visit every month.
And you wanted to cut it short. The trick was to just sit there and drink a lot of lime juice or eat limes.
Oh.
And like hot stuff like spicy powder and stuff. Like, and she's like, I had a beach party once, or like she was going to like a lake or something, and I didn't want to be on my period. So she like ate all the lime she could and everything. She's like, and I stopped it. I managed to just like cut it short. And then the next time I had my period, it was awful. I had the worst cramps. And for a good portion of my life, up until within the last few years, I thought it was true because I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
You learn something as a kid and you grow up thinking, oh, that must be true.
Well, yeah, because why would they lie about that?
Right. I mean, I'm not saying she lied necessarily, but I don't think
it actually probably worked for her.
Right. Maybe it was just a coincidence. Like, you willed it to make it stop.
Yeah. See, I'm so gullible. I believe, like, everything.
Right.
And so, I'm not one to fact check someone. I'm not one to Google, like, you know, nowadays everyone does it. So I'm like, let me Google it, see if you're right. But usually I just, like, take someone's word for it.
I mean, if it sounds fairly, like, okay, that makes sense. Okay, I could see how that goes. But something like that, I'm like, really? Don't you think more women would be doing that if that worked? At that point, why don't you
lime and lime juice?
Lime juice and chili. That's just a nice way to get, you know, the poopies.
Yeah, exactly. So I would not be doing that more often. I'd be like, I'll take Aunt Flo for a few more days. It's okay.
Or just get on birth control and just cut it out of the equation completely.
Exactly.
But we are Mexican. We don't take birth control.
You guys don't believe in that.
With our parents knowing that, I mean.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're knocked up and you're like, maybe birth control is a thing.
But it's that sort of thing. So I was curious if other people had that, like old wives' tales or just weird stuff.
That you just always...
Like you always assume, like, oh, this makes sense, right? Because you grew up hearing it. That's what your parents grew up hearing. Your grandparents grew up hearing. Nobody ever questioned it.
Yeah, I don't know because I'm so, like, I question... Like, if I don't believe... Like, if my grandma told me that, I'd be like, Grandma, you're full of crap. Like, that is a lie, you know? But, like... Yeah, I don't know if we had any of that just because I'm so like either it's true or not. Like, I mean?
I mean, there's something like when you were younger, maybe a teenager or younger, you're like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. Like, you know, don't make sure you put the right sock on first or something. I'm making something up right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with like pasta, you know, like with the spaghetti noodles or whatever, you'd always break it to put it in the pot. And that's, I just thought that's like what you're just supposed to do.
I mean, it's nothing bad.
No, apparently, because I broke it and then I don't know if it was my boyfriend who got really upset with me or someone was like, why the hell would you break the pasta? But they just did it all the time when I was growing up because the pot, it didn't fit the pot right.
Right.
So they had to. But if you can like, I don't know, apparently it's like, don't break the pasta or some crap. But I was like, I thought you always do that.
I mean, I feel like it's not something that matters. Like,
well,
I mean,
apparently, I think he was watching Worst Cooks of America, and one of them like broke it, and one of the chefs got really mad. Like, why would you ever do that?
I mean, you don't have to because you can put the pasta in, and as it cooks in, it'll eventually, you know, make its way down to the bottom.
Yeah, but I think because our pots were so small that like my grandma did it, so then my mom did it, and then I just watched them do it. And the very rare few times I make pasta, I would do it, and then it'd be like, no! And I'm like, oh, I thought that's just like a thing. Like, salt the water. It's like the thing you're supposed to do or whatever.
Well, that's how you flavor the pasta. Because you can add salt.
But you could still like put salt on afterwards.
You can, but then you get the, like, it tastes like you have that grain of salt, you know what I mean?
Oh, see, I love putting salt on top of my pasta.
And that's totally cool. But, like, if you just eat the pasta by itself, it just tastes like bland pasta. And that way, at least it's a little salty pasta.
See, I don't know.
Like putting oil so the pasta doesn't stick in the pan. That does, or in the pan, yeah, the big old pot, basically, that doesn't make any sense.
But you don't need the salt for it to stick because it's going to just be in the water.
Yeah, you don't need the salt. Like, why? You don't have to. It just adds flavor. And same with the olive oil. A lot of people put that in so it doesn't stick to the sides, but it shouldn't stick to the sides.
Oh, I never put the olive oil in.
Same.
Whoa.
That wasn't me.
What was that? Yeah, but I don't really think there is anything especially that crazy as yours.
Right.
Because I'd be like, you're full of crap.
So I know there's a million other ones. I just can't think of them because they're just so buried into like either common knowledge or I've just completely pushed them out of my head.
And then someone will say it and you'll be like, that's not what? Really?
Doesn't sound right.
There's probably still some that we believe.
Right.
Like in our everyday life that like maybe in like 10 years we'll be like, wait a second. I don't think that's true.
Well, like there's even, I bring this up a lot, the show Adam Ruins Everything. He did an episode about football. And one of the things he did talk about was hydration. And he brought in a hydration specialist, like she was a doctor.
Yeah.
And so we have this conception, like this misconception of where we need to constantly be drinking water all day, every day, especially when we're playing sports. And it's a very rare occurrence, but there is a problem with overhydration where, you know, some people would drink so much that
they like drown themselves one day.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But the reason why we are so conditioned into drinking so much, especially in sports, is because of the beverage companies. So like your Gatorades and your Dasani, like Coca-Cola.
Electrolytes.
Yeah. And so it's funny, like even like you'll hear celebrity doing endorsements like, oh, I drink coconut water because it keeps me hydrated. It's like, no, that doesn't really do what you think it does.
Really?
Like, or no, he's not the hydrated part, excuse me, because it makes me avoid cramps. But they have no actual, it doesn't actually prevent cramps.
Oh, like muscle cramps.
Yes.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Like, I didn't mean the hydration part. Yeah, coconut water can hydrate you, but I meant the cramps. But they're expecting us to constantly be drinking so much water that it's not really doing anything for us. Because your body can only hold so much water.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of peeing it out anyways. Like, it's just, you should, in the I think a lot of the rules is continuously drink. Even if you're not thirsty, just drink. And what the hydration specialist said, our body has a really good mechanism to telling us when we're dehydrated, and it's thirst. So basically just drink when you're thirsty.
No, because when I'm hungover, I'm not necessarily thirsty, but really? I am dehydrated.
Oh, I am super thirsty.
Sometimes I am, but sometimes like the thought of drinking anything, like disgust, but like I can tell my body needs water.
I think hangovers are a special occurrence. I think they're just talking about like everyday stuff.
Oh.
Not when you're effing up your body.
I heard it like boosts your metabolism though. Like when you wake up to drink like a glass or two of water first, it like, I don't know, helps you something.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't really cover that part, so I'm not 100% sure, but it's the idea of you're supposed to drink like nonstop all day.
Well, aren't you supposed to drink like a certain amount?
And that's one of the things they covered. And, that was actually the point where it's like, you're supposed to drink 8 glasses of water a day. And they're like, okay, where did you hear that from? It's like, oh, my coach. It's like, yeah, and I heard it from my coach. And he heard it from his coach. And like, it's one of those things that we have heard for so long, we think it's real.
Oh.
It's like, there's no real set certain amount per person.
Yeah, I guess everyone's different.
Right.
And except then again, I wouldn't just trust one TV show when they quote-unquote debunk everything.
Right. So that's why I do say, like, do more research if you're not really feeling it. Like, if I were to hear my grandma say something like that, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, if I don't really, I'm like, is that true? I would do my own research and look that up. But it is interesting how there is things like that, for example. It's like, why is it 8 glasses, not 7 or 9? Like, why is it specifically this certain amount, right?
Yeah.
For everyone across the board.
Probably just like the average.
Right. But why? Like, so maybe it's just we've heard it so long. And
well,
so,
and I feel like with some things, it is like science-based.
Right. But because, like, I want to see recent studies that weren't conducted by beverage companies, because I know one of the examples they gave, a beverage company, sorry, by the way, I am drinking Gatorade today because it is delicious. Not to stay hydrated, but it's tasty. I know. So, but one of the beverage companies actually put out a full page ad making it look like it was a research study. And so a lot of these companies will make fake, like, study labs, like oh, the, you know, Gatorade Institute of Science. It's like, that's not really an institute.
Can they legally do that?
There's a lot of loopholes that can. Like, especially with, like, when it comes to your health and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's this another episode of the show where they brought on this guy. He did this thing where he put out a study. He was able to publish a study that had no real backup, but he was able to, I think, for a certain amount of money, you can publish studies where it said if you eat a certain amount of chocolate, you could lose weight. And it blew up because I remember seeing it everywhere. Like, chocolate can make you lose weight. Oh my God. Oh,
yeah. There's always that thing. A glass of wine can make you lose weight. Tequila now makes you lose weight. Yeah.
Right. And so he did that to prove a point. It's like, it blew up because it's kind of what people wanted to hear. But I had no backing to this, or even like with protein powders and stuff like that, because it's not really FDA regulated, because there's so many companies that make this stuff and so few inspections that get done per year. Like, a lot of these companies are making products and just putting them out on the shelves with no real regulation because nobody's there to regulate it. So,
oh, that sucks.
Right? It's really, really sketch if you think about it.
Yeah.
And so one of the things he said, it's like, I could legally, for this amount of money, it's a very small amount of money if you think about it, make my own recipe of like a protein thing or whatever and put it out on the market. And the only reason he didn't do it was like, yeah, my legal department said not to.
Yeah.
Right? But it's that simple. And we just think, oh, because it's what we're told, like, hey, yeah, this is healthy, right? And it just because it's in the store, it means it's good, right? Like, nobody, it's not going to hurt me.
That's why you got to check the ingredients, which will for sure be real, right?
You would think. But not all the ingredients on there are either 100% listed. A lot of the times when they have been able to do these research, like study.
Isn't that illegal, though? Because what if someone has like an allergen or something?
That's usually when they look into things. They won't look into anything. Not so much that they won't look into them, but they don't have enough resources to look into every single one. But when somebody has an allergic reaction, when a lot of people get sick, that's when they'll put that main priority in, like, okay, we need to check this place out and shut down. So a lot of the places, I think they said, that do get checked out, they actually get inspected.
Yeah.
Fail.
Well, yeah, I bet, if they're not putting everything on there.
Right. And so I think
even
like a lot of like the supplements, like plant supplements, they found that like there's either very little or no traces of the plant. But there's nobody really stopping them, so they can't. So why not?
Because that seems very illegal if they do get caught.
It is, but what are the chances of getting caught when there's a billion of us and only a few inspections happening a year?
It's still not worth the risk, though. I wouldn't be able to.
I mean, you're a big company. Why not?
I'd be so nervous.
Jeez. You then sell it to somebody else and it's their problem. Like, but it's one of those things. Like, we just kind of get told these things and we take it for, you know, face value.
Yeah.
So, but going back to the original point, I want to hear old wives' tales because they crack me up.
Yeah. What does your family tell you and have been telling you for years?
Actually, I did a quick Google search and I found 10 old wives' tales people won't stop believing.
Okay.
As examples. So if you guys have one like this, let me know. One of them being the best way to cure jellyfish sting is to urinate on it.
Yes! Is that not true? Because I was so hoping I'd get stung by a jellyfish and then someone would have to pee on me.
Yeah. Someone's like, this must have started as one prankster living trying to live it up on a beach visit.
Does it really
friends.
Not work?
So it's like, in reality, it does nothing to reduce the pain that comes with the sting, as it lacks the chemical makeup. Seawater, on the other hand, is more productive solution, and vinegar, which contains acid that neutralizes the sting, is even better. I have heard that the pee makes it worse and can actually cause an infection, so keep that away, according to my30spot.com.
So it doesn't.
Don't pee on it.
I feel like I'd still let someone pee on it.
That's your Saturday night. I don't care.
Hey.
Number two is most body heat is lost through the head. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Whereas like, oh, you don't have a jacket. As long as you have a hat on when it's cold, you won't lose most of your body heat.
I thought it was like hat or feet.
One of the two.
Or head or feet, not hat.
But it is one of those things that were drilled into us, like in our heads during the winter months to prevent heat loss, wear a hat. And it may not have seemed all that far-fetched. After all, your face and head tend to feel temperature changes the most. But according to scientists, however, you lose about as much heat in your melon as you do in your limbs. So a nice winter coat, two limb and abdomen coverage, so none of your crop tops, for example, is still way more important than a thick beanie. So we can thank the 1950s U.S. military for perpetuating this myth.
I will say, though, when I'm like out, if I have like a full coat on,
mm-hmm.
or like the difference between just having a full coat or having a full coat and a beanie, mm-hmm. I'm way warmer.
See, I...
Or like put the hood up or something.
Well, yeah, because you're not getting the wind in your face, so that's going to feel nicer. But like for me, I like a jacket and like a big thick scarf around my face more so than on the top of my head. Yeah, on my head, like on my face and on my chin and my cheeks, just nice and cozy.
Well, it's perfect that we have to wear masks now.
Right. Going outside with wet hair will get you a cold. So wet hair means cold head, and to many mamas out there, it's just a sure sign of impending sickness. And of course, you won't actually acquire cold or flu because of that. It's much more straightforward process. Most commonly, the breaking point is when we inhale airborne viral particles released by a sneeze or cough from a nearby infected person, or touch or mouth or nose or eyes after coming in contact with like a contaminated surface. So merely washing your hands is a better preventative measure than blow drying your hair.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of what you were saying.
Another one is feed a cold, starve a fever. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, I have, yep.
So a supposed remedy that dates back to the 16th century, starving yourself during a fever defies common sense. Like many medical opinions that were formed a few hundred years ago, obviously, if you're hungry, you should eat. Your body needs energy to fight the fever, but you shouldn't overeat, as the immune system must maintain its focus on battling the illness.
Is that both with a fever and a cold?
I think they're saying like if you can eat while you have a cold, but if you have a fever, because I think once you have a fever, it's technically the flu because it's then a virus. Virus equals.
What if you don't have the cold part, though? You just have like a fever.
If you have the fever, then you shouldn't eat is what the old wives' tale is.
Yeah, but now it's just like you should just eat, but not a lot.
Just don't overeat. Like there's times where you're
But with
just,
a cold, can you overeat?
I think you're not supposed to anyways because your body's still trying to fight something.
Oh, okay.
Because your body's trying to break down all that food and it's not going to. It's trying to battle your illness more so.
Okay.
So, I mean, still eat, feel like full, but don't.
All I heard was just don't eat. Starve yourself when you have a cold or a fever. Your immune system's trying to do enough, okay?
Like, don't starve yourself, but eat. Earthquakes are more likely to occur during hot, dry weather. Anybody who's retained any knowledge of their first geology class should know this one is bunk. Earthquakes are generated by occurrences miles beneath the surface, shifting tectonic plates, and the weather above the surface has absolutely no effect on when they occur. The belief was initially put forth by Aristotle more than 2,300 years ago, when our understanding of natural disasters was primitive at best. And the fact of the matter is that you won't know when an earthquake comes until it comes, and only science can change that.
Yeah, I never even heard that.
Yeah, I hadn't either. This one, yes, thank you. Cracking knuckles causes arthritis.
Oh, God, I used to get that all the time.
You're going to get arthritis if you keep cracking your knuckles.
Yeah, I love cracking everything.
Same. It's like, don't worry, cracking your knuckles won't lead to arthritis in your later years. Studies have shown that there is no link between one or the other, but some doctors advise not to do it anyways because of the stress it puts on the ligaments of the finger joints. That makes more sense. Because sometimes I'll really crack them too often in one day and my fingers will hurt.
Cracking them right now.
Same.
Oh, yeah. Just know they were like, you're going to get huge knuckles, which I have huge knuckles.
It means better to punch bitches with.
Hell yeah, it is. Don't mess with me and my big knuckles.
I mean, I know I'm going to get arthritis because my mom's got it. So more likely than not, it wasn't the knuckle cracking
for me.
Hey, you
don't know. Just because your mama has it doesn't mean you'll have it.
But if I do get it, it's because my mom had it.
Yeah.
Another one. Gum takes 7 years to pass through the digestive system.
Oh, I've definitely heard that and swallowed gum multiple times.
Not true.
I don't know why. Why don't they tell you to swallow it then? It's hard to break down, probably.
Let's see. If it were true, colonoscopies would be slightly more interesting, although the base of your gum is more indigestible as it consists of resins, preservative anti-oxidizing agents.
Woo! You got it!
Plasticizing softeners and synthetic elastomers.
Jesus.
It eventually passes through, albeit slower with the rest of your food, but as with cracking your knuckles, a bit of a risk accompanies, you know, habitual gum swallowing. Children have suffered gastrointestinal blockages after swallowing too many pieces, causing constipation and the eventual need for it to be removed. So I think if you're a kid that's chewing a bunch of gum and swallowing every piece, you have a tiny little tummy. You have all this gum.
You're going to block that bitch up.
It's like eating too much cheese. You're going to get all blocked up. But cheese will eventually pass through a lot easier than a bunch of gum.
Yeah.
Have you heard of if a pregnant woman is carrying low, it's a boy, and if they're carrying high, it's a girl?
Actually, I think I have heard that.
It's like if their baby bump is more higher.
Yeah.
Then you see some that are kind of like drooping.
Yep.
It's supposed to be a boy. Not true.
I also heard if you like are trying to have a boy after you guys do the deed, if you like stick your legs up.
No, that's just true.
And like
that's not gonna cause a boy or girl. That's just gonna increase the chances of you getting pregnant.
I heard it was gonna help have a boy. So
no, like if you're, let's say you're trying to make a baby on purpose, that's what you're supposed to do anyways, because it kind of increases the chances. Like you're getting all the ingredients, if you will, where it needs to go.
All up in ya.
Number 9, shaving hair causes it to grow back darker and thicker. Not true.
That's not true?
Not true.
Why? I don't believe that.
Think about it. Does it really make sense to shave a balding area to encourage growth? The belief stems from the fact that shorter hair tends to be tougher and thicker than longer hair, creating the perception that there's more hair in the spot than before. Because that's when you get a haircut and you cut all the dead stuff.
Well, I was
going to
say, what about dead ends? When you cut dead ends, does it make it grow faster?
Not necessarily grow faster, but because this hair, think about the hair that comes out like the top of your head. Yeah. That's stronger, it's fresher, it's baby. And at the end, it's seen a lot of hair dryers and stuff. So that is all kind of dying.
But so it doesn't matter if like the hair on top of your head's growing at the same rate. Like, why would it matter if it has dead ends on it, though? You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's not growing back darker and thicker. I tried mixing the two words together. Darker and thicker.
It's just is it growing and it's not growing back faster.
Yeah.
Why are people like, oh man, I need to get a, I'm gonna trim split ends?
Like, I mean, it's just, it's good to cut the split ends off anyways, because think about it, the split end, if you have like a little split end, it'll eventually keep growing and pulling apart.
But why does that matter though?
Because it'll eventually get up top and ruin the whole length of the hair, the whole strand of hair.
Oh.
So imagine like having a string, right? And it's kind of frayed at the end, and you let it just kind of hang it around, not tying a knot in it or cutting it and like making it new.
Yeah.
It'll continue to like come apart until all the way.
All my ends of hair.
Oh God, that's awful.
So fun. It's like a game.
You're weird.
Well, I thought, like, yeah, it makes no sense now that people say, like, oh, you got to get the dead ends off, and once you cut those off, your hair will go faster.
It won't grow faster. That's not true.
Lies! Everyone's telling me lies!
It's not so much that they're not lying to you, because they think it's true.
It's still a lie, regardless.
It's still a lie, but they weren't lying to you, if you know what I mean. Like, they weren't doing it out of a place of malice.
Well, they're just dumb.
Yes. All right, so give me your old wives' tale. I know we went long on this one, but I want to hear them all.
Yes, let us know.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.